Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day you've given to us. We think of this precious book we're fixing to open. We realize the inability to even speak it or preach it without the anointing of the Spirit of God, and I pray you do that. We also realize to receive it, we need that anointing in the pew as much so as the anointing to preach in the pulpit. We pray today our focus will be exactly what it should be upon that which God has wanted us to see about His Son, about His plan, about His purpose, and help us in this life when we leave, that our life may have illumination to some degree to see things we can do better and clearer for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalms 33. Now, I don't know if you are, but I know this, and sometimes people say, well, why would you be burdened about this particular thing when you want to be burdened about souls that's not lost, or souls that are lost and the Bible not being preached? Because the subject I'm going to speak on this morning is showing us in our day the Bible is not being taught like it should. If it did, our nation wouldn't be going like it's going. Amen. Now, I want to say this. This message, most of the time, we'd preach on Memorial Day or July the 4th. But I don't know. The last few weeks, I've really been burdened. And you say, how can a little old preacher down here in Kellyton, North Carolina, where nobody knows except a few around a block or two, even be burdened about things? I don't know either, but I'm burdened this morning. And not only I've been burdened 2 weeks and on this message, but I've burdened because of last night. But I'm burdened on this subject, and you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. In Psalms 33, we know this in verse 12, God says through the psalmist, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, the word blessed also is blessed of the people that he says, whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of the habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their heart alike. He considers all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. I guess this is kind of the things that man had in that day, that he thought his arsenal and things that he could use were better in defeating his enemy. Today we have a lot more strength than that. But by the way, as God said, these things are not strength when it comes to what he's talking about. Our arsenal today is not strength either when God says that's enough and we're not doing what we want to do. Amen. I tell you, we feel safe sometimes because we think we got so many modern-day weapons. God can close them out just as quick as they, a lot quicker than we got them, I tell you that. And when it comes to where we're at before him, the walk with God means more than the arsenal. And he says here, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon him that is hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. If you look with me, and you know this verse by heart, if you look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse 14, God says, if my people, now I want you to notice here, he didn't say if Israel, though if Israel is his people at this time, and that's who he's writing prophecy to, as he talks about what's happening, but when he gives this statement, he says, if my people. Now, if you're born again today in the family of God, you're God's child. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, this is much so as for the child of God today as it would be for those who would follow Israel through the sacrifices and things in the Old Testament. So when I read this, I don't just say, well, that's to Israel, you know, and they need. No, that's to all of those who claim to be God's people. And you can't claim to be God's people unless in our age you're born again, or unless in that age you did what God told Israel to do through the tabernacle and the temple to have a relationship with him. And God said, if my people, which are called by my name, and that pretty well puts it exactly where it ought to be, he's not talking about somebody else who's just religious. He's talking about a relationship here, called by my name. He said, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, Notice that. These are things he said, and when they do this, then. In other words, this is something God says had to be done before he'll do what he said he'd do.
Amen?
Amen? That's all there is to it. He said, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, there's a lot of folks today don't think our land needs healing. You know why? They don't know the God we're talking about.
Amen.
They don't understand what it means for a person to go against the things of God Almighty in our land because we're so clothed with religion. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak to you this morning on God's hand has been on America. And I use the word hand has been because I believe from the beginning we see his hand working in our nation to bring it to this day. And we are leaving the principles today. God's people are not. They still hold to biblical principles. But they're leaving the principles in general today because our nation is trying its best to change the laws that were written in those early days, which brought God in the center of everything they did. And when that happens, then you're going to see a massive of people having to obey laws that were not written like our laws were written with the foundation fathers of our country. To be born and live in America is the greatest privilege that God has ever given to mankind except to be born again. Now, I mean that. In our particular day, for us to be born in America is the greatest privilege that a man has in mankind except to be born again. When I think about this subject, my heart goes out because there are two theories of government in this world. When you look at America, it wasn't raised like other governments because the forefathers went back and many of them studied what God told Israel to set up for that nation through Abraham. When you go and look at the laws and so forth that were set up in those early days, you find they were biblical oriented, and many laws that God told Israel was incorporated into the foundation fathers' thinking when they set our nation up. These two theories of governing the world is one rests upon righteousness and the other rests upon force. One in righteousness appeals to the reason of man. The one in force always appeals to the sword or to that weapon of war. Now, most governments on this earth, down through the years, ladies and gentlemen, use the hand of force that is held in the hand of a few to govern people. So you've got a massive group of people being governed with a few hands who's the head of that. Sometimes they come through kingship. Sometimes they come through certain families. Sometimes they even talk about voting, but our nation is the only one who's ever had the privilege to set up where you had the right to vote for those who are leaders. And I'm not talking about that today. I'm just talking about God's hand being on our nation this morning. I want you to know I proudly sing, "My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing." I proudly sing that because I believe that God has given us something that if it were not in those early days, we wouldn't be where we're at today. And I believe that God saw Israel in the end of the age. I believe he saw the gospel needing to be preached at the end of the age. And this country is the country that he raised up for that purpose at the end of the age before the Lord Jesus came back. And we're losing those principles right now in our day. Now, there's a grassroots that has them, but we can do nothing if the government passed laws of where you can't do that. And it's an amazing thing. You're talking about witnessing freedom. Now they can pass a co-op law somewhere or another. You can't even go into a neighborhood and witness now because you'd be breaking the law if you did. So I say to you that for God has made this country great. The phrase, "we believe in God," is the taproot of America's growth as revealed in the Holy Bible. Now, one of the oldest Boston bomber here the other day said this about 2 weeks ago. I reckon you heard it on the news. The newsman said that he was talking to a young man who was a friend to him, and he said that our Bible was a poor copy of the Quran. He don't even know what he's talking about. First of all, if you got a copy of something, you got to have something that you can copy from. And the Bible was here before the Quran was. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, wait, don't you get on those things and it's controversial. Well, what's said about our Bible's controversy too? Folks, I believe this to be the Word of God, and I'm going to offend it. I'm going to offend it. This is not a copy of the Quran. This is Word inspired by God Almighty's Holy Spirit that we'd have the accurate Word of God. And I want you to know, how could Adam and Abraham and Moses and the prophets, minor and major, and Jesus and the apostles, how could they follow a religion that had not even been founded when they were here? And when you look at it, you see the authorized version of the Quran was produced in about 650 A.D. And Muhammad was born in A.D. 570, and he died A.D. 632 at about 63 years old. So you know good and well, this book was written back, the Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and the New Testament was written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And the Old Testament, you see, written a few thousand years ago. And when you go back, this was written in the first, second century as far as the New Testament, and then it's consolidated later into what we have as the Holy Bible, the canon, before you ever have the Quran in existence as far as a man is concerned. So I say to you, no man can alter history in such a way as to remove God from the founding principle of our land, because they cannot change facts without lying. They just can't do it. It's too obvious. Too many books we have that's been written on what the Constitution and the forefathers of our nation said about trying, how they went about to set this nation up. Man can constantly alter his environment, but he can't change his history. He can't do it. Once it's settled, he may lie about it, but he can't change it. And I say to you, this church may change sometime in the future what it stands for, but it can't change its history, praise God. This church may become a liberal church one day, but it can't change its history. What's in the future may happen, but you can't change it. History's already passed. And when it's there, anybody goes back and look at anything this church was founded on, you're going to find the history will not be that this is a liberal church. Now I say, the same is true of our country. You may change the environment, and you may change the existing law, but you can't change your history. It's breaded, it's there, and God gives the ability to go back until they remove it completely out of our learning and as far as our libraries and writings, the things we have today. God made America his chosen land in the last 400 years, even as he chose Canaan for Abraham and his descendants 4,100 years ago. There's nothing else like America in the history of human civilization. Anything come close to us, the nation of Israel, how God gave them to set up their way before God, the kingdom, to set up the nation as a whole, how it would work. It's political, it's ecclesiastical, it's worship. All of those things were set up by God. But thank God, America don't have to give sacrifices. Jesus Christ has already paid the debt. Praise his holy name. I thank God for that. A land of peace. Hey, look at this land and all the problems we have. It's a land of peace, and it's a land of love and song, where we live like kings and queens compared to the rest of the world. God has blessed this nation. And people want to come here by the loads, and yet it amazes me. They come here like what we have, but they want to bring their stuff with them to destroy what we have. The United States of America is the only nation with a known birthday. July the 4th, 1776, nearly 237 years ago. America is a dream fulfilled. America is an idea that works. America is worth dying for. All people are given created powers by God as his being, creating his image, which are absolute needful for human progress. Listen, folks. A free person physically and spiritually has all kinds of potential. But in a society that's not free, you can't use them. If someone has potentials, and that's what we see, all people that on this earth has potentials of some kind. They may be harnessed and put down, but they have potentials. Everything that this country has done in the past, as far as progress is concerned, is because it had potential. People was raised up and felt free to take and go with what ideas they had and what direction they had and things that they thought of. There was no handicap. They could use that to some degree to promote whatever they wanted to promote. And then we find there's great men had thoughts like Edison and Ford. With the Ford automobile, and then we talk about Wilbur Brothers, and all of these things that took place, that someone got a big idea, and God let them use their potential, and then they got some else to help them add to that, and they got some else to help them add to that, and all the way down from where the start of the idea down to the making of that, and the grassroots of the people are using their potential. Even the people who work on the similar lines use their potential to do what we do in this land, because we are free. And if a person on a similar line don't like it, they can go somewhere else. No one can keep them there. Hey, we are free, folks. God raised this country. There's some countries you can't do that. Some places you work for the government, you don't work for nobody. Well, a lot of folks work for the government here, don't they? Amen. America's a dream, though. I thought about it. Everybody has a gift to contribute. Many times, most of us start at the grassroots, but then suddenly we align ourselves with someone who had a big idea. You think of the number of jobs that Gates and his idea, and when some of the larger companies wouldn't even allow him to promote it in their country, and he said, that's all right, we'll get a couple of fellas, and I'll start in my garage. And now he's bigger than any of those companies. But you know, he didn't get there by himself, did he? Hey, leadership had potential, yeah, but he had to have others who come in. Different type of potentials and put it all together in a package deal. And look what happened in that one company alone in America. Why? Because we're free. God set us free. Some people say, you people that are saved are not free, you're bound. No, ladies and gentlemen, if a man is bound in sin, he's bound. He's not free. God set us free. And I'm glad to understand what he means there. I remember I read where Benjamin Franklin said, he wanted the turkey to be our national bird rather than the bald-headed eagle. And someone said, Mr. Franklin, why do you want the turkey? And he said this. He said, well, the turkey is a bird of courage. He'll fight you. But he said, a bald-headed eagle just fly away. He don't have anything to do with you. Well, what would happen? If he'd gotten away with his idea, we'd not have turkey for Thanksgiving. And who wants to eat a bald-headed eagle? I don't. So even the bird itself, God worked it out for us, didn't he? Amen. I love it. The American flag, Old Glory, had 64 parts to the thing. More than any other flag in the world. 50 states, stars for states. 13 stripes for the 13 original colonies. And then on a field of blue that it's made at this time. Many parents have shed tears because her sons and daughters went down beneath those stars and stripes to sustain its honor and glory. God used all of this to bring America is where she is today. And I'll be honest with you, there have been a lot of folks who give their lives in wars in the past would be upset to see what's happening in our day. That's all there is to it. Some of those people that died in World War II and on, you know, even back, you say, well, wait, isn't it amazing? When we say that, then someone says, well, you Christians just get upset. You don't want nobody else to be happy. Yes, we do. Let me tell you, the best way in the world to be happy in this world is to have God in the center of your life. That's the best way. God used all of this to bring America to where she is. The success and the greatness of our nature is founded in our trust and in our faith in Him. There is no substitute for this. Not at all. The things that man is not afraid to do today that literally God called abominable, one day is going to hang this nation. I guarantee you. God's hands has been on America. You can come to America from over this earth as people come and worship in any kind of religion you want to freely. Isn't it amazing? Why? Because this is a Christian nation. It was, as put it. And you can come from any continent on this earth to this country, and the laws that God set up will allow them to worship God freely if it's not the true God. When that happens, though, you understand. Try to go somewhere else and do that. Try to take Christianity to some countries where they can come here and worship, and yet we can't go there and worship. Why is that? There's something about that name, Jesus Christ, that this world just cannot hardly stand. Christianity is the reason for this. Religion alone can only take you so far. Religion can make you nice, but only Christ can make you new. Religion, ladies and gentlemen, focuses on the outward behavior, but relationship is the inward transformation that Christ gives us when we trust Him as Savior. Religion focuses on what I do. Relationship centers on what Jesus did for me. When I look at religion, I see it's about me, religion is. But relationship is about Him. Jesus Christ made us a relationship in Himself that we could have with God Almighty, who I believe, as the Bible, is the God of this book right here. Two quick thoughts. First of all, number one, men of history trusted God for their part in history. Even at the beginning of this day of our finding this nation, or coming to this nation, I should say, men in history did their part that believed in God, their part in making this history. I went back in Columbus, believed God, and trusted God on his voyage. In Columbus' log on Wednesday, October the 10th, 1492, 2 days before his discovery of the new land, he said, and I quote, "I am going to continue until I reach my goal with God's help." When they reached the shores of America, they didn't get up and stand in a circle and stand and pray. They got on their knees before God Almighty in a humble position. And as they got down, they thanked God for His guidance and His help to get here to this country. Amen. They were not praying to a pseudo-God either. They were praying to the God of this Bible. Our charter on one of the voyages, April the 10th, 1606, states that one of the purposes of the English colonization in America was for the propagation of Christian religion. Why? They said they wanted to reach those who live in darkness with the true God in this world. Isn't it amazing? Even the coming of the early people here to settle, many times God stirred their heart in a country they were in. They couldn't worship God freely, so they left everything they had, and came to this country for the purpose to reach those in darkness in this country for the glory of God. And that was Indians to start with. And then, of course, a lot of other people began to send them here. People in jail, and you had people who were pulling time and other things. And a lot of times the jails would fill up, and they send them here in certain places also. But that's where God used those people to set the basis for this country, that we'd have this avenue and have this relationship with Him. The Mayflower Compact, we've always read that. We have undertaken this settlement of ours on the wild and Virginia shores of a strange land for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Those pilgrims set forth. They're here for the advancement and also of the Christian faith. It is a matter of historical record, ladies and gentlemen, that in nearly all of the early charters and grants of land that was given for America from the old country, a missionary purpose was pointed out as one of the main reasons for coming. Amen. You don't hear that today. You're hearing that those laws that they made are old and they need changing, because we're a new generation, we're a new people, we're more educated, we're more highly, and what was sin is not sin no more. We decide what's right and wrong, and God's going to destroy you too. You don't. We don't decide what's right and wrong. We may, and God will give us that ability with freedom, but He decides what's right and wrong. And what He's documented is still wrong, and what He's documented right, still right. Amen. It's not going to change. The second thing, I see the body of Christ, which is the church of God, has contributed more to the splendor of America than any other institution. The old South Meeting House in Boston, Massachusetts, where Samuel Adams and others spoke out against the injustice and British oppression and always brought God into the subject or into the meeting. The old North Church, where the signal lanterns were hanged to warn the British coming. Christ's church in Philadelphia, where Washington worshiped as he sought God's will about his life in this new country. After homes were erected, they come here in this land and no clearance of anything, cut the trees down. The first thing they did is have a place to live. And when the homes were erected, the next thing they did is have a place of worship. They take a community and build a church. Wonder why? Because they saw the significance of God being in their life. Not just in the home where they're at, but in the collective assembly together called the ecclesiastical, the church, meeting together. That they might worship God together in this life. The Bible was their lamp to their feet. It was a light to their path. It was a guide for their lives. And they held to Psalm 119, verse 105. The First Continental Congress in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia. The chaplain got up with all the members of Congress. And with that, they got on their knees asking God for his help in their undertaking. I wonder what would happen one of these days if he could go to Washington in the Congress, and when they began to have the person pray, everybody would get down on their knees. I imagine a lot of them just sleeping, don't you? I mean, it's just a formality. This is real. Prayer was real here. It's not a formality or ritual just to do something that people would say, that we're religious. Not at all. A farmer said to his wife in 1776, and it's heard and it's put down in the record. He said, "Mother, the British are going to lose this war." And she said to him, "Dad, what makes you think so?" He said, "The reason I saw George Washington on his knees before today in the Pharaoh praying for God's help and guidance, and a faith like that cannot be defeated." Amen. God help us. Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "The Bible is our foundation of strength." Even old Harry Truman said, "I want you to pray that God will give me wisdom to make the right decisions for the welfare of our country." And they tell us that he had a Bible that was on his desk always in the White House, he said, "which I read from every day." Didn't know that about Truman, did you? Man, I'll tell you what, God read the Bible every day, he's going to do something for him. You don't read it, it's too powerful. It ain't like a romance novel. It ain't like something Harry Potter. This thing's got power behind it. Amen. And when you read it, it does something for you, I'll tell you that. Like Paul, they were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16. The gospel is not for discussion or debate. It's an announcement to this world that God loves this world. And Jesus died and was buried and rose again and paid the price for sin that we might be free. Amen. That's what God has done for us. It is not a neat little alternative. It is God's only answer for fallen man. Religion can take you but so far. God's Son can take us to heaven, amen, when we die. Now thank God to understand that. General MacArthur said, "By the help of God, I have been able to win our military victories for America." I don't know where he was saved or not, but he still recognized, even if he was unsaved, that God had a hand in their military victories. If we continue to trust God and follow his teachings, ladies and gentlemen, he will bless us continually until Jesus comes. Why? Because I believe 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is as much for us today as it was for Israel. Amen. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Boy, that's a load, isn't it? Not too many people nowadays think anything wicked. In fact, there ain't nothing sinful nowadays. Isn't it amazing? We don't need redeeming because nobody ever does anything that's wrong. Boy, are we going to be shocked one of these days in the human race. We stand but fine. Oh, that's right. They are. Amen. They are. Again, when you look at this, a nation that forgets God can fall a lot quicker than it rose from trusting God. And that's what 2 Chronicles is telling us right here. You go back and look at when Columbus came. By 250 years from the time he got here until this country began to develop before we even got our so-called national freedom, there was a massive movement of people that in the beginning, when they came here, got saved, they went to churches. And then according to history, when you get to the 1700s, about 1730 to 1740, which is the 18th century, there's something happened to the churches. They become more liberal, less, they had more ritual. They were doing it more so for the show than for just having God in their midst. And what happened was there's a great movement away from God, even though they were going to church. And in England, there came what is known as a great awakening, which moved over to our nation at that time. In England, it was called the Methodist Revival or the Evangelical Revival. John Wesley was behind that in that particular day. It's an amazing thing. You can look at every denomination you want to today, and you see when it started, it was right and right and heavy with God, doing what God wanted. Nowadays, they're just about going the opposite direction. They use the name. They use the name, but they don't practice it. And this is what happened here. And they said it that particular day, by the 18th century, churches were cold and formalistic in Christianity. Many claimed to be a Christian who had never accepted Jesus as Savior. Kind of sounds like our day today, doesn't it? 250 years this began to take place. And God shook this nation because there had not been enough to change the leadership or the foundation that was coming. He was molding that. He shook this nation. He sent a great revival that it moved and swept across this continent and over into England. And there was many, many, they said in one service in those days, and keep in mind, they didn't have the thousands like we have today in these big arenas. One service, they had over 300 to get saved. They're supposed to have been already saved. And it moved, and people began to fall on the altar and cry out, God, forgive me. And when Jonathan Edwards preached that message, sinners in the hands of an angry God, he didn't even preach it like you hear today. He wasn't a Joe Arthur. He just got up and read it. That's all he did, read his message out. And while he read it, people began to run to the altar because it was sinners in the hands of an angry God. Nobody thinks God even gets angry today. And people feel that place, and they were running to the altar, crying out, oh, God, have mercy upon me. They thought they were going to drop in the pit of hell right then. And hundreds of people got saved. Great awakening came. People began to repent of their sin, and they call it out. And now we have 250, 60 years later to 2013, and we need an old-fashioned repentance. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. What a tremendous door God has given to people, his people, to be able to come to God and say, Lord, when I see you say something's wrong and it's in my life, forgive me and repent. What a tremendous door we have to the God the Father through Jesus Christ. And he says to as many as receive him, he give the power to become children of God. And he teaches we confess our sins, those who are saved, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. I'm so glad I'll never have to worry about if something in my heart bothers me that maybe I said or did something wrong. I can go to my Heavenly Father any time, any place, anywhere, and I'd ask him to forgive me. You have an audit. You know why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't have the blood of Christ on you, you don't have no access to God. And then people call me a fool to say that, but I'll stay that way. God says that Jesus Christ is the only way you'll ever get to God the Father. The only way that I ever get there. Even Yale and Harvard turn out people who advance with intellectual ideas of ancient philosophers rather than Bible believers. In 1703, 1758, Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield came upon the scene. The Great Awakening, they said, started about 1734. In the matter of days, things began to move, and it moved just like a breeze of revival and people getting right with God across this continent and across England. Today, America, hear me, folks. Today, Americans are making laws to respect sin more so than to repent for sin. And that, don't tell me, we're seeing a little sign, I think, now, though the world explains it away, but it's nothing what's going to happen when God Almighty takes the church out of here, begins to prepare this earth for his returned son to rule and reign that 7-year tribulation period. No one can imagine what it's going to be like. So I say Psalms 33, verse 12 says simply this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can I say something? I can't prove this, but I believe this. I believe God knew that America would defend Israel in the last days. And he raised him up for these, you know, years that we've had here, 230-something years since we got independence, and close to 500 years since their settlement of this nation started. I believe he raised this nation up to defend Israel in the last days. Why? Israel is still the apple of God's eye. Israel is still a place in him in the last days. In these last days, even now, Genesis 12:3 is real. Those that bless Israel, he will bless. Those that curse Israel, he will curse. And I'll tell you, if this nation ever turns against her, you're going to see God let it go a lot faster than it's going now. Amen. Thank God so far there is a tag, which there is a connection there right on. Of course, in the tribulation period, they'll lose that. God also knew that America would be the gospel preaching nation in the last days before Satan found a way to stop her in doing that. Satan is doing that now from within. How? By changing the principles that were embedded in America's foundation, which in turn, everything that's done takes God out. Isn't it interesting? We can talk about the commandments and so forth we have. We talk about slogans we have over in the courthouse, so forth, has to do, and God we trust. Isn't it amazing that the very things that the early fathers set and believe, and some are even the last few generations ago, have done in putting God's laws in certain places, in public places. And now there's a mass movement, seems like, even though it's a small, it's amazing what a few people can do, but the thing changed the law, then it affects everybody. And that's what happens. Our country is a wonderful country that you get in position to make laws. And it's amazing. We're going to talk about that some in the near future. God has blessed America. God's almighty hand has been upon her. And I want to say, without Jesus Christ, our works do not show love for God. Hear me. Without Jesus Christ, our works do not show love for God. Therefore, our works have no value in God's eyes. Amen. Unless Jesus Christ is in the center of it. Yeah, right. Whatever we may do, religiously or otherwise, has no value in God's eyes unless it's centered in Jesus Christ. And you say, well, now, the Old Testament, no, Christ was here at that time. No, but they did what God said, dude, pointed to the time he should come. Amen. Isn't that amazing? In the Old Testament, all they did, everything they did, everything that God told Israel to do, when they obeyed from the tabernacle to the temple to the family altars, all those things that were done, every time they did that, though they didn't understand it, they just obeyed God. It pointed when Jesus Christ would come. Every one of them, every lamb that was sacrificed, every animal that was killed, every pigeon, everything that was shed for with blood for sin, for atonement, pointed to the time that Jesus would come. And then we come to Calvary, and now we're on this side looking back to Calvary. And where this pointed to when he should come, we're on this side saying to this world, listen to me, God has a message. And it's a simple message. And we point back to Calvary to prove how much God loved them. And yet they miss it. They think he lost the call. They think he's not who he is. They make fun of him when they'd use their own religious leader, and they'd hang if you made fun of them. But they'll mock Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. And it's getting worse and worse. And ladies and gentlemen, it's an amazing thing what religion would do to people, because they want someone to look at. And right now, you see God through the Spirit, by faith, and you see him with the basis of who Jesus Christ is. We trust him, and he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And so again, without Jesus Christ, our works do not show love for God. Therefore, our works have no value in God's sight when it comes to what we say we do in our religious field. God's hand has been on this nation. When I see what people are saying and how they're, and I'm no expert on the Constitution. I don't claim to be that. They say, well, why don't you keep your mouth shut then? Because I'm a preacher. Amen. I'm a preacher. By the way, you go to the Old Testament, and I wouldn't claim to be like a prophet, but no prophet had anything either except the report God said. And ladies and gentlemen, this is all we have. And God forbid we change it to meet where we're at today. God wants us to look at it and line ourselves up with this. And when it does, you'll see a change in the people in the society who believe this book and who don't believe this book. There'll be a difference. There'll be a difference. And they say, well, how can you love someone when you're harping on sin all the time? Hey, isn't it amazing? You don't harp on sin. You just preach Christ. And when you preach Christ, the Holy Spirit just brings conviction all the time. And you see how much you love Him and how much He loves you. God in heaven, help us exalt Him. Father, I thank You for the Word. Dear Father, please bless this. Give a little insight that what I said today is what I went back in history and found written in books, Lord, about our country. There's much more. There's some great books written about people who, what they said about God and how they inserted Him in everything and wanted Him in their current sin, wanted Him in their lives, and wanted Him to be seen that the principles that they laid down as the foundation for our country, they believed God had a hand in that. And Lord, when you look at the nation to rise like it has, our nation to rise, surely You had a hand in that. We know we're in the last days now. Lord, it's not long before the eastern sky is going to burst open, the trumpet of God's going to sound, the voice of archangels is going to call out. We're going to rise and meet our Lord in the air. Then there's going to be some awful days on this earth. And so we pray that while we're here, Lord, we look for You to the eastern sky, but we don't get in the cave and just say, wait, come, Lord Jesus, we're just going to wait. You teach us to occupy. You tell us You have a story to tell, and we don't understand why the God of this universe had power to make anybody believe anything He wanted to. And yet, You set up a system, and then it came to the age of grace. You gave Your message to Your church when Your Son was here. Go in this world and preach the gospel. You sanctioned it with the Holy Spirit of God. And You gave us the format, the Father and the Word of the New Testament. The Holy Spirit inspired to write. And when He come to take a bow in our lives, we read that portion of God's Word. There's a great understanding and revelation about what we should be doing in these last days. Dear Father, thank You again for the promises. I pray, dear Father, You'd help people see when we preach these truths, it's not that we are enemies in the sense of trying to destroy. We just want to be plain what we understand, what God is doing. Lord, it don't make us any better than anyone else. We're all sinners saved by God's grace. It doesn't mean we're so intellectually or we have all the answers. It just means we have the answer, first of all, and that's Jesus Christ. We believe there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. We believe, our Father, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by Me. We believe that. And so doing, we throw our entire being on the mercy of God's court and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we ask for the power to walk with Him in these last days. Please come for our heart when people slander us. Please, Lord, help us pray for our enemies. Help us learn to do the side that You said we could do with the power of God in us. Dear Father, help us win people to Christ. As the one here today don't know Jesus as Savior. Works is not enough. The Lord, religion won't take them but so far. And then it'll leave them when they die and they end up in an eternity without God. Jesus Christ is the answer. Please, Holy Spirit, even though we talked about our nation, the foundation, I pray from the roots of that, rise up in the midst of this message, they see Jesus Christ as who He really is. And somehow or another, God, help someone come to know Him the Savior today. Then they will really know what to be happy, or they may struggle. We're not immune to sickness because we're saved. But we have one who's a great physician. And our Father, one day we'll draw our last breath, and when we do, we're in the portals of glory. If you have somebody to be present with the Lord. But we understand that is a blessing that God promises us when we're in the mess that we're in this world. I pray You touch someone today and help them in this hour for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.